Good morning. I'm not going to yell out, "How dare you," after you say good morning to me, but that is the topic of my talk this morning. I'm wrong. That's hate speech. Really? It's a warning from God that if we don't listen to Him, then we're in deep trouble. It's not hate speech. If you remember in the Old Testament, Jonah was instructed to give warning to Nineveh that they were in the wrong and they needed to straighten themselves out. But Jonah didn't like the people in Nineveh. He would rather go speak to the ones in Tarshish. And he was shown the error of his way, and he did wind up going to Nineveh after spending the 3 days in the whale and being spit out and straightened out by God. He did go speak to Nineveh, and they were willing to listen to his words and straightened out, and it made Jonah mad. He didn't want him to straighten out. He wanted to see him punished. We live in a hypocritical world. If you say everybody is okay to do whatever they want to, then you're allowed to voice your opinion. But if you speak for God and what the Bible says, then you need to be quiet, because they don't want to hear you out there. You're expected to keep quiet until you change your mind and conform to their ways. It doesn't sound like a free country philosophy. It sounds more communistic than a free country. On Wednesday night, we're studying downstairs, the history of the church. Many Christians were tortured and killed because they would not conform to what the governments wanted. They were killed in front of other Christians, the most prominent ones, to show what's going to happen to you if you don't conform to the government and do what the government wants. If you don't denounce your Christianity, you're going to be hung up on a pole and burned to light the streets at night. We're going to make an example of you. Personally, I think it's going to get to the point where Christians see this treatment again in this country, even. Maybe not in my lifetime, but I think if the world stands long enough, it'll get to that point. I don't know that the world really takes issue with us saying that being a drunk or fornicating or adultery, or murdering, or stealing is wrong. I don't think the world has a big problem with us saying that, because I think they really probably think that too. They don't want to hear or have us interfere with their liberal teaching of our children by us teaching that homosexuality is a sin and not an alternative lifestyle. They don't want you interfering with what they're trying to teach your kids when you send them to school. You can't say it is sinful without being called archaic or old-fashioned. In Hebrews 13, the 8th verse, it says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." That means he's not conforming to the world, and neither should we, if we're doing what God wants. This means it was wrong way back then, just as it will be as long as the world stands. And so will all these other things be that have been mentioned as sins in the Bible. The common frame of mind says I deserve to have whatever I want, whenever I want. I want it now, and I want the way I want it. And for everybody to say, that's great, I'm happy for you. I'm happy for whatever you want to do, whatever makes you happy, that's great. God gave us rules to get to the point that's called heaven. We've got to follow those rules. It says in the Bible that we have to follow those rules, and we have to respect what God's set in front of us. You can only obtain heaven through the grace of God. You aren't going to get God's grace by not doing what He wants, by not following His word. I've run into the problem the last couple weeks. I do listen to a lot of sports radio. I've had to turn the radio off the last couple weeks, or listen to music. Because over the numerous times in the last weeks, Christians are under attack for the views on Michael Sam, who announced that he intends to be the first openly homosexual athlete. Great for him, everybody says. That's wonderful. You're our hero. And you Christians, you're narrow-minded, old-fashioned, other things they want to call us. He's a hero. He's a pioneer. If we have a problem, then it's not a problem with him. It's a problem with us. No, it's not. We are accused of being judgmental. Because if you look over in Matthew, the 7th chapter, verses 1 through 3, we're told, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Pointing out someone else's sin is never a pleasant thing for anybody. It's not pleasant for the person that's pointing out the sin. It's not pleasant for the person that gets it pointed out to him. I don't want to go up and tell Kelly he's doing something wrong. But the Bible says if he's doing something wrong and I don't confront him about it, it's a bad thing. It's not good. Nowadays, society teaches to do what makes you happy regardless, and there will be no repercussions. Nothing will happen to you. Sounds familiar. I will get to the snake in just a bit, but that's exactly who it sounds like. That can only be your stance taken if you don't believe in God. We are told to preach the Word of God, and sometimes that means stating the fact rather than what people want to hear. That's just tough. If you go to 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter, Nathan was told by God to go talk to David and point out what he's done wrong after he had sinned with Bathsheba. And what I want to focus on, I'm not going to read the whole story, we know the story, but in verse 13, what I want to focus on was David's reaction to being told that he was wrong. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. But we know the son that was conceived in that sin did die. And David cried and he wept and he prayed that might not have to happen, but it did. And after that son died, the people didn't want to let him know because of how hard he was taking the child being struck sick that he had died. But David, when he found out, he got up and went about his business. And they couldn't believe that he was able to handle it that way. He said, the only thing I can do now is to keep myself right with God so I can be with him again someday. He has hope. He didn't lash out and Nathan and say, how dare you tell me that I'm wrong? You pointed out that he could have said, you want to point out that the king is wrong? I could have you killed for that. He didn't act that way. He acted, he was a man after David's, after God's own heart. David owned up to his sin. He realized he sinned and he owned it. He didn't argue. He didn't make excuses. He owned it. And he prayed for forgiveness, as we should. Christ pointed out Peter's future fault before it even happened. And Peter denied that he would ever turn on Christ and deny Christ. Peter was proven wrong. And when that rooster crowed for the third time, he went out and wept bitterly as Christ looked at him after Christ had already started to endure punishment. He wept bitterly because he realized he had sinned. He realized it was his fault. We have to be willing to admit that we have faults and be sorry for them and not go out and sin anymore. We can't live in sin, which is a problem with homosexuality, because you continue to live in sin if you adopt that lifestyle, or if you live with somebody. You're living with a sin. We need to truly be repentative about sin. It means that we are not to live in it. If you have a problem with drinking, you need to stay away from that environment where alcohol is around that environment. You need to stay away because it can cause you to live in sin. Stay out of environments that lend themselves to being a temptation to whatever you're tempted by. Hebrews 13 and 17, and gives us instruction to obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they must give account. Lowell and Bob and Mike, Vern and Carol all have to give account for those that were in their flock while they were the leaders, the elders here. And as some of them still are leaders. And we need to make sure that they give a good account for us. Because as we're told, if they can't give a good account for you, it's going to be unprofitable for you. Let them do it with joy and not with grief, for it is unprofitable for you. Romans, the 6th chapter, verses 1 and 2, it says, and what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? I want to focus for a little bit on Romans, the 1st chapter here, starting with verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold to the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but came in vain to their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became as fools, and change the glory of incorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did exchange the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense for the error which is meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetous, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Therefore thou art unexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest these things doest the same things. When we tell people that they're doing wrong, we need to make sure that we're not doing wrong too. In this set of verses, in this chapter, it firmly tells us what our fortune will be if we live in sin, if we choose that, if that kind of lifestyle, or a sinful kind of lifestyle, and live in it. It's not going to be pleasant. God will allow us to. We have free will. But in the end, we will not be rewarded. And the punishment is much longer than our joy is by obtaining that sin for a season. We need to flee from sin the way Joseph did. When we are one flesh with Christ. How do we accept a lie? How can we allow ourselves to accept a lie that the world is telling us that it is not a sin? We can't. Genesis, the third chapter, verses 1 through 4. And now the serpent was more subtle than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the of every tree in the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. The serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. The world is telling us that this isn't a sin. Is Satan telling us another lie? Are we going to believe it? Not if we're trying to serve God. Have to stand where God's standing. Satan has been trying to trick us forever, and as we see, many have been fooled. We can't allow him to win this one. Going over to Jude, the seventh verse, it says, behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, that they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth an example of suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. It is very clear here what awaits us if we partake in this kind. I read the wrong verse there, but even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth an example suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And in 14 through 25, Enoch also, seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh as 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, for all their hard speeches and ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons and admirations because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you there would be mockers in the last time, who would walk after their own godly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on the most holy faith, praying to the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. Amen." We should be willing to save people from the sins that they might be committing. We should hate the fleshly desires of this world that cause us to sin. We have a duty to inform and stand for God's word and not be quiet and not fear for what might happen to us, because we're standing for God. God will take care of that, and he'll take care of us forever if we forever stand with him and stand by his side. We shouldn't be afraid of what this world can do to us. We have to speak out, not in judgment of people, but in fear for what could happen to their souls for eternity if they don't listen to what God has for them. If you have an issue that needs to be brought forth in front of the church that can be helped, there's not a one of us that won't be willing to listen to you and help you with that. If you want to commit yourself to Christ and you haven't been baptized, and you haven't become a member of Christ's body, and you've reached the age of accountability and you've been putting it off, don't put it off any longer. Be a part of it. Serve God and have a chance to enjoy the pleasures of heaven for eternity rather than the tortures of hell. You have that opportunity as the invitation is extended to you, and we sing the invitation song.